While you're standing, if you turn to 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. My name is Pastor Schumacher, and God has approved the following message. Amen. Going to be reading something that is so familiar to you. Most of us have learned it in Sunday school. It's about Goliath, the giant. Each of us are giant killers. We don't even understand sometimes. Chapter 17, starting in verse number 2, and Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley Elah, and set the battle array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, or 9'8". He'd be making millions of dollars in our time. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of his coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had graves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, "Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and you servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevailed against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us." You know, God is always up to a big challenge. He really is. He's always for the underdog, and generally we find ourselves as the underdog. And then if you'll look at verse 45, it says, "Then said David to the Philistines, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all of the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all of this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." And it came to pass, when the Philistines arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and sling it, and smote the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Lord, you're so good to us. You may be seated. Well, the implements are different. The scene is different, but there is always a battle between right and wrong, good and evil, righteous and unrighteous, right to life or right to abortion. There are all kinds of issues in this election that's coming up, all about the economy, all about the virus, all about freedom, all about more stuff for everybody. But the main issue here is a right to life or a right to abortion. And if we, as a country, as a nation, would say, no longer will there be abortions in this country, then maybe all of the other issues would be gone, you see. I believe that. It seems that we're always looking at a challenge from this world. But as with David, the battle is not ours, and we come in the name of the Lord, not with sword, not with attorney, not with, you see. 1 Corinthians 1 and 27 says, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, that no flesh should glory in his presence. He didn't put the biggest guy against Goliath. He didn't bring a swordsman. He didn't have armor on. All he had was the power of God. I love the story of David and the giant, a boy who wasn't strong. He wasn't proven. He wasn't even supposed to be at the battle. After the victory, Saul had to ask around, who is this kid? This great victory was the beginning of David's influence on Israel. We receive the hand of God. Every time we step into a battle, God is with us. It's not our battle, it's his battle. And with the victory, there are rewards. The king's daughter, he was given position, he was given fame, and eventually he was given the crown. All because when everyone else was hiding in fear, he stood and said, is there not a cause? Church, we need to stand up for righteousness. When we do, there's going to be a battle. Even the battle with his brothers. He said, why are we standing here? Why not go after this uncircumcised Philistine? And his brothers, you know, said, hey, go home. Take care of your sheep. We have something to fight for, and we have a God who will fight for us. He will take care of the battle. But I don't know if you have noticed, there is more than one battle in life. Wouldn't it be great that we just got the victory in one thing and then we could sit back and there isn't any more battles in our life? It would be nice at the beginning of our walk with God that we got the victory over the flesh, over the world, over temptation, over sickness. None of these things would bother us anymore. And then we could just take our place on the throne, you know? But as David found out, there are more battles down the road than just, it was just the beginning. And the next few battles were even worse than the first one. It tells us in 2 Samuel 21 and 19, in another battle with the Philistines at Gob, Elhanah killed Goliath the Gittite. And now this was not the Goliath that David killed when he was just a boy. This was another Goliath. He must have had some relatives. You know, he picked up 5 stones. Maybe he was expecting his 4 ugly brothers to come on the scene as well. Perhaps this guy, Goliath, was a relative of the one that David killed. But now David is in the sunset of his life. Isn't it amazing that even after you serve God for a long time, there's still some battles that you have to win? And another Goliath shows up. Just when you think the battle is over, another giant shows up. Where are all of the Goliaths coming from? Where are all of the troubles coming from? Sometimes God allows these things in our life to showcase us like he showcased David. But God's anointed David to be king, yes, but it would take years before he would actually sit on the throne. Anointed to be king, but 12 years went by before he was able to sit on the throne. Yes, we were filled with the Holy Ghost, but there will be battles before we receive the crown and before we are able to be rewarded. Goliath, well, they have a way of reappearing. Nothing ever stays dead or won. You might have won some battles, but there's always another one around the corner. The key is to be able to handle it through God. World War I was called the war to end all wars. But then World War II soon came along to continue what was started in World War I. Literally, millions of people were killed. Desert Storm in the Gulf was supposed to solve the problems in Iraq, and yet Operation Iraq Freedom was needed years later in order to finish the battle. Paul said this in 1 Timothy 4 and 7, I have fought a good fight. Really? I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. There's going to be rewards based on victories. We will all fight battles, but I want to fight the good fight, and I want to finish my course. Sometimes we take things on all by ourselves when God's saying, wait a minute, why are you doing that? Why fight this battle by yourself? What you see in this account is David didn't say, I can take care of it. I come in the name of the Lord. I don't want to be taken out because of a Goliath that showed up in my later years. You know? I think everything's fine, and then all of a sudden a Goliath shows up. Children have a childhood disease called chickenpox. Most of us had it. Most of us have some kind of scars from chickenpox, but later the same virus that lay dormant for years can show up in adults as shingles. A very painful virus attacking the nervous system. And even though it had been conquered as a child, it shows up again as an adult. A childhood enemy comes back to fight another day. Perhaps what you once conquered years ago can sneak back in your life because we're not expecting the Goliath to come back again. Another Goliath that appeared unto David, this time he appeared stronger. And the reason he appeared stronger is because David was now weaker in his age. In 1957, I have a button at home. I was a polio pioneer. I got one of the first polio vaccines. There were a lot of young men and girls who got polio during that time. Some of them I know. It was a terrible disease, crippled a lot of people. But I got the vaccine, and I didn't get polio. Most of you have never experienced that situation. But then when we went to Africa, I had to get another polio shot because it wasn't conquered in Africa. There were some battles we were able to handle on ourselves years ago. We got the victory, like David. He didn't need the king's armor. Everyone watched while he handled the battle all by himself. He didn't have a throng of brothers who were backing him. He went there all by themselves. And most of the people thought, you will never be able to get the victory. But they sold God short. But this time, the giant looked even bigger, and David realized that he needed help to win the battle over this Goliath. So take a look at 2 Samuel, the 21st chapter. Starting in verse number 15. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war against Israel, and David went down and his servant with him and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. And Ishbi-Benob, which was the son of the giant, the weight of his spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight. He, being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. And Abishai, the son of Zerohah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swore unto him, saying, "Thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel." Listen, David, you have fought so many battles. Now, you don't go out by yourself. We're going to be behind you in order to help you fight the next battle. There are too many people in the church who feel they have to fight on their own the battles that they are confronted with, when there are warriors within the church that say, "Let me pray with you. Let me help you through this situation." All of the time, there are going to be people who aren't able to handle it on their own. But thank God, God put us in a church of warriors, of people who will be behind us, you see. Hallelujah. Perhaps it's well that we understand we are a part of a great body of believers. God puts us together to form an alliance to conquer the enemy together. We need each other in order to conquer the enemy together. Amen. What we once faced alone, now we have the benefit of an army of the Lord. Glory to God. There are too many people that are out there trying to fight their own battles when God's saying, "Hey, why don't you just join my army?" Ecclesiastes 4 and 12 says, "And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not easily broken." Jesus said in Matthew 18 and 19, "Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." There's power in agreement. You got a diagnosis? Let the church know. You got a problem? Let the church know. Years ago, we don't see this anymore, but I guess it was a thing to, I have an unspoken request. In other words, what you're saying is, "I can handle this by myself." Why? When there's so many people who will help you through the battle, the problem. Amen. David later surrounded himself with men who were loyal to him. When the going got rough, he involved them to help fight the enemy. Smart. Really smart. In 2 Samuel 21 and 18, Abishai, David's nephew, killed the giant Ishbi-Benob. Then Sibekah killed a giant named Saph. And Elhanah, one of David's loyal men, killed the new Goliath, another Goliath. And Jonathan, another nephew, killed a 12-fingered, 12-toed giant. Try to intimidate us? Oh, David killed the first giant, but to kill the new giant, well, it involved somebody else. David killed the first Goliath all alone, but another Goliath had risen, and he knew he would not be able to defeat him on his own in the condition Sometimes there are people who are weak within the church. There were times when I've been so sick, all I could say is, Jesus, Jesus. And thank God there were people who would pray for me, pray for my wife, pray for you, because through those prayers, we get the victory. We have to use the team approach, the church approach. We can't handle all of our battles on our own. Amen. Too many people in today's church are trying to handle their own giants by themselves. They won't involve others in their battle because they think, well, it's a sign of weakness. You don't have enough spirituality in order to handle it on your own. There was a time when all of us faced the battle on our own, but God has given us an army of believers. And in Isaiah 54:17, it says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. He's talking about the future church. It doesn't matter how big the giant's sword is or how loud his screams are at us. Nothing defeats God's army of believers. No virus, no media, no riots, not even government can defeat us, because we are established by the Lord and we will always have the victory. Amen. Church, we need each other. That's why I emphasize coming to church so much, because we need each other. We encourage one another. We provoke each other to live right. Paul gives that advice to the young preacher, Timothy. Turn to 2 Timothy, the second chapter, please. Second Timothy 2 and verse number 1. Now therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So, we teach each other. I go through a battle, and now you're going through a battle. Well, I got the victory. It can encourage you to get the victory. Here's what I did, you see. Amen. He was saying, no matter how strong you feel in your youth, you need others. Even the youth shall faint, but they that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What he's saying is, so foolishly, when we were young, we felt we could do anything, you know? I was talking to Brother Hefner, he said, so is your hearing problem because of youth? And I said, yeah, when I was in the artillery, they gave us earplugs, but I don't need that. That's for old people. Well, now I know what's for old people. You know, you think, I can conquer anything, huh? You know, what do I need a coat for? It's only 22 below zero. But as you get older, you know, some of these things that mom has been saying, dad has been saying, glory to God. No matter how gifted or intelligent we may be, we still need each other. Every Saturday morning, a group of giant killers meet here. They do. And perhaps they're praying for your battle. More than two or three, an army to help defeat the largest giant in your life. God never meant for us to do battle by ourselves. Victory tastes just as sweet when we teach somebody else to conquer. Let me help you. I'll tell you what, you're going through this. I will fast and pray for you. Let's meet at the church early and we'll fight this battle together. You know what that does? It encourages us. It increases our faith to believe, hey, in the name of the Lord, glory to God. Listen, when old habits reappear, and they will, old weapons might fail you. And when an old temper, lust, and jealousy reappear, old techniques might not work like they did before, but God is still able, and we have many people around us to help fight in that battle. The idea that we have people around us, we need to take advantage, you know? We can go to the hospital. Do you think just one person shows up to help? Or is there a team of people who are specialists in order to help us get through that situation? You know, when David faced Goliath, he used a slingshot and stone. You know, maybe he wanted to demonstrate to everybody that was in that battle, you know what, it's not going to be, you know, the great authority, the great, provision that's going to win the battle, because it was all that David knew. But he didn't stay with the slingshot very long. David learned how to use a sword. And there were a lot of other battles that he didn't take the slingshot with him. He took the sword of the Lord. A couple of verses in the Bible might give us the victory when we first come into the church. When we first just feel our way through the Bible. But today, battles require us to become proficient with the sword or the word of the Lord. And the more you use the sword of the Lord, the more victories you're going to get, the more power you have against the enemy. And stay with the army of God that God has put us in, because we can't battle alone. 2 Samuel 21 and 22 says, "These four were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants." Glory to God. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for praying for each other. Thank you for encouraging one another, because we need everybody to help us through the battles that we go through on a regular basis. I don't know what's going on in a lot of people's lives, but I'll wake up in the middle of the night to pray for you, because you need help in your battles. You cannot do this thing on your own. We need each other. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? You see, the world today, especially in America, has become very independent. I'm going to do it by myself. They don't want others to help them. They don't want others to even know what their problems are. But it's different in the church, folks. Glory to God. Amen. I thank God for the saints every day. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Could I encourage you to involve other people in your battles? No, they don't have to know all of the details of what's going on in your life. But you know what? When you find yourself in a difficult situation and you really don't know what to do, you need to incorporate other people into the battle. I don't know, the doctor thinks it might be, well, let's get some people to pray about it. You know? You know, I don't know if I may be in jeopardy of losing my job. Well, let's get some people to pray about it. Amen. There's a comfort in knowing there's others who will be at your side. The altar is open. Would you come?